The doctrine of privacy and judging. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Before we begin our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, allowing us to rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. The doctrine of privacy and judging. Of course, privacy is a paramount concern in the divine institution, and judging is a sin. So we have the yin and the yang here. You're entitled to your privacy and nobody else's business. That's what we mean by judging. Start out with point one. Each believer is accountable to who? To the Lord only. John 21:21-22, Romans 2:1, Romans 14:4-10. Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge?" And that is the word krino, which means to be of opinion or to decide mentally or judicially. So who are you to judge? The servant, oiketes, which is a domestic servant, of another. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, histemi, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So this tells you, of course, this, the context here is that God is our slave master, and we're his slave, we're his servant, we're his domestic servant. In other words, we're in the house. And therefore, it's up to God to judge us, not other people. So the rhetorical question here that Paul is writing is, who are you, fellow believer, to judge the servant of another? So they understood the concept of slavery in that day and time. And it's not your business what other people do with their servants. And these are domestic servants. So whether they bring them chocolate or tea at 2 in the afternoon, none of your business, or whatever they do. Because it's not yours. It's somebody else's. So each believer belongs to the Lord. They don't belong to you. None of your business what they do. It's their business. So therefore, every believer is a royal priest, and you represent yourself before the Lord. 1 Peter 2:5-9, compared with Colossians 3:17. Point two, the violation of another's privacy leads to judging. So when you violate someone's privacy, which is point one, then you're going to be judging them. And there is a difference, as we'll cover, between judging and assessing. You certainly have to assess things in your life. But judging means you're passing a judgment on them to be of an opinion. And that opinion, of course, is always that you're better than they are. Always. Because otherwise it wouldn't be judging. If you say that I'm worse than that person, you're not judging them. But when you put them in a lower status than yourself, you are judging them. But assessing is a normal function. You can look at somebody and say that they're not responsive to the gospel. Well, that's an assessment. I'm not making a judgment of that. I don't think I'm any better than they are. I know I'm not. Christ says that we are all as an unclean thing, and we're saved by the grace of God. So fellow believers, I'm not better than they are. Even if you know more Bible doctrine than another believer, you're not better than they are. Because God says in the Bible that I love all believers exactly the same. Well, how can that be? I'm drawing on the board a plus R in blue and circling the thing. God loves us all exactly the same because we possess dikaiosune, his righteousness. And therefore, if God loves us all the same, then how are you better than somebody else? The issue about maturity is, do you love God? Because if you love God, then of course you are moving ahead of the line and not behind the line. And so you need to distinguish between judging and assessing, because you'll meet some of these weird people. Well, I can't have an opinion. I can't judge. No, you can make an assessment without judging. Clearly, if you don't make assessments in life, you're an idiot. In fact, the Bible commands us to rightly divide the word of truth. So you can assess all sorts of things in life. You just don't judge people. So two, violation of another's privacy leads to judging. Matthew 7:1, Romans 2:1, Romans 14:4-10:14. 1 Corinthians 4:7, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And again, I say that, note that making judgments, observations, or assessments about things in life is normal. So here I use the word judgments as opposed to judging. It's a slight difference. I'm making a judgment. I'll use the word assessment because it's too close to judging. So we'll just say assessment. But really, you're making a judgment. I'm making an assessment. I'm making an observation about things in life as normal and legitimate. However, sitting in judgment, that's the problem. To condemn invades the privacy of another member of the human race. It is not legitimate. So you're certainly commanded not to judge fellow believers, as in Romans 14:4, but you don't even judge other unbelievers, because you're not any better than they are. You are, but you're not. Obviously, you have the righteousness of God, but without the grace of God, you're in the same boat as those people. Romans 14:10-11. But you, why do you judge krino, that's the same word we saw before, your brother, Adolphos, this is a fellow believer, because apparently that's what these people were doing. Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? That means to despise a fellow believer. For we will all stand. Now here's the logic behind this. All of us will stand before the judgment seat, which is the word is bema. And in Roman and Greek language, the Romans would have a bema. It's a raised place for the official seat of a judge. And that's where Christ was before the bema of Pontius Pilate. He stood there. And that's the official seat for the judge. So we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, Theos. And we know who sits on that seat, Jesus Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, Kurios, that's in the singular. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So, these are believers. Every believer will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. These aren't the unbelievers. Unbelievers are not at the judgment seat of Christ. But here, this is your logic. You don't have the right to judge somebody else, because you're going to be judged. You'll be evaluated, and God will evaluate that person, and he'll evaluate you. That ties in with Romans 14:4. You're not that person's boss. God is. Number three, privacy is an extension of the divine institutions. Number one. And of course, our founders had the genius. Some of them were believers, some of them weren't, but they all had the genius to pull the concept of privacy out of the Bible and put it into our Constitution. And that's where we have the limitations on big government, because you have the right as much as possible to retain your privacy. And you're free from interference by the government to intrude on your privacy. For example, you have the freedom of religion in this country. You have the freedom of speech, freedom of press. Now, of course, when you exercise the freedom of speech, you're going to be ostracized if the group doesn't agree with it. But that's the way it goes. But they can't throw you in jail, at least not under the Constitution, unless you have, of course, we know that there are certain exceptions to the free speech stuff. You can't scream fire in a crowded theater. People get trampled underfoot, and you're responsible for that. But we're talking about the normal concept of the word. So privacy inspired them to put in the things in our Bill of Rights. Because you have the right, as much as possible, to have self-determination. You decide where you want to go, where you want to live, who you want to marry, what you want to do, what your job is, go to school, not go to school, drink beer, don't drink beer, whatever it is. And so in a society that's truly free, you're going to have inequality. You can't have equality and freedom at the same time. Impossible. Because freedom demands inequality. Because people will use their volition to make good choices and bad choices. But we're no longer equal anymore, are we? If you want the lie of equality, you're going to have to give everybody a frontal lobotomy. Because you can't bring the dummies up. You have to take the smart people and bring them down to the level of the lowest common denominator. Then you're all equal. And that's just, that's the only way you could, that's the only way I could think of to do it. There's no other way. Equality is a lie. And so when people talk about our founders and they weren't perfect, they weren't this, they weren't that, their premise is that we should all be equal. Well, that's not God's premise. That's a false premise. Who's against equality? Well, no one would raise their hand. I'll raise my hand every time. I'm against it. I don't believe in it. Because the Bible doesn't preach equality. When the angels were made, they weren't made equal from the very get-go. Some had higher positions than others, i.e. Satan was the highest angel ever made. He just got the higher position. Equality doesn't bring you happiness at all. In the military, everybody can't be a general. Sorry. Just doesn't work out that way. So, there you have it. Point three, privacy is an extension of the divine institutions. Very true. Privacy is for believers and unbelievers alike. Four, live and let live is the mental attitude of the mature believer. 2 Thessalonians 3:11-13. For example, even if you hear gossip, which is true, it is none of your business. Do not pass it on. It's a sin. Gossip is when you pass on things that are true. Slander is when you pass on things that are not true. Both are sins. Because it's none of your business. You have no right to gossip about someone else, even if it's true. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we, that's Paul and his traveling team, hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined atakos, which means disorderly, out of the ranks. Military is very important. Stay in the ranks. You're leading an undisciplined life, doing no work, ergazomai, at all, but acting like busybodies. And that means to bustle about uselessly, periagazomai. And that will happen if you don't have a job. And they're just busybodies, and they gossip about people. And so they have no discipline amongst themselves. They can't discipline themselves, so they flap their gums about other people. Number five, never impose your personal standards or good advice on others regarding their dress, their eating, their social relationships, etc., etc., etc. People that advice is never wanted, and good advice is really never wanted. They just don't want. You're not going to make any friends by giving people advice. Well, this is how I do it, and this is what I do. Mind your own business. Romans 14:4-10. Again, live and let live is the general attitude of the mature believer. Remember, you do the same things. In many cases, we do the same things that we accuse others of. Psychologically, this is called projection. You're projecting your own inadequacies on other people. And that's almost all gossips are projecting. When they describe somebody else, they're describing themselves to you. You just say, oh, that's what you are. Thank you for telling me. If you've got friends that are habitual gossips, I'd leave them alone immediately because they will be talking about you when you're not around. Oh, they never do that. Of course they will. Ecclesiastes 7:20-22 says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does divine good and who never sins. We already know that. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear, and that word is to disregard, you will not hear, you will not disregard your servant, cursing you. So, you will not hear means you're going to disregard it. So, do not take these words seriously, your servant cursing you. For you also have realized, yada, which means to know, that you likewise have many times cursed others. What are we trying to say here? If I could put a microphone on your best friend, they're going to talk bad about you at some point. But even if you find, if it gets back to you, so what? They're humans. If you're going to have the standard, well, I'll never have a friend if they talk bad about me, you won't have any friends. So just prepare to be alone in life. And so we've all been in situations where you're talking to somebody else and you might say an unkind word about another person, which you really don't mean. You're just saying it in a way for a joke or whatever. But if that person finds out about it, they just fall apart. Oh my golly, you said this about me? So this is just telling you, relax. You do the same damn thing. And so don't get upset when somebody bad-mouths you. Maybe they're just using you as a joke or an illustration or whatever. That might not be their true feelings towards you. But, you know, everybody's human. Everybody sins. So just cool it. Thank goodness we don't have the technology where you can follow people around. But if you watch some of these shows, it's coming. And that would be really a stifling thing on your freedom of speech and freedom of thought. It'd be horrible. But God knows everything you say and think. How about that? So, live and let live is the best thing about it. You know, and don't expect you're going to have a perfect friend, perfect wife, perfect husband. It's not going to happen. Impossible. And the fact that you heard your, wife or something make a joke about you that you don't put your pants on correctly and you get all upset, I just laugh it off. She probably didn't mean it. They're just trying to make themselves look good in some context and vice versa. Because if they hear about it, well, you're not protecting me. You're saying words about me. Well, take a chill pill. A, I'm not perfect. B, I was just telling a joke. And so, et cetera, et cetera, on and on. And a lot of you are kind of young. You're saying, well, I never heard that. Don't worry, you'll run across it when you get married or get a steady fiancé or whatever. Okay, number six. A believer who sits in judgment is in for double divine discipline. Do you want that? If you judge other believers, you're in for double divine discipline. You get the discipline given to the person of the sin that you're saying that they did, and you get your own discipline for judging. So every sin has a price tag attached to it. So let's say somebody commits adultery, and you find out about it, and you gossip about that person. Well, you get the sin for the price tag of adultery, plus you get the sin for judging. So you get double discipline for wagging your gums. Oh, but it's true. I'll assume it is true. None of your business. Is it your spouse they're doing adultery with? No. But I just want you to, I want to tell you about this other person. They hold themselves out as wonderful people, and look, I saw them coming across out of the neighbor's house, you know, half dressed with their shoes in their hand. None of your business. And so Matthew 7:1-3 gives us this principle. Do not judge, crino, so that you will not be judged. And this is, of course, by God. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, metreo, which things you measure out, your opinion, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck, karpos, which is a trig, or karphos, which is a twig? Why do you look at the twig that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log, and that's dokos, which means literally a beam of timber that is in your own eye? This parallels, of course, Ecclesiastes 7:20-22. You can't judge another human unless you're perfect. None of us are perfect. And B, you shouldn't judge unless you have all the facts. Who has all the facts? God. So you're not one and you're not two. You don't have all the facts. None of your business. And you're going to get double divine discipline on that one. So if you do judge, quickly rebound. Remember Paul said, keep short accounts. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And that means when you commit a sin, don't let it fester. Beat God to the punch before he can execute the divine discipline. And basically, you just confess the sin. Keep very short accounts. Number seven, those who don't respect the privacy of others are troublemakers, as we've already seen in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. What we also cite 1 Timothy 5:13. They are on a par with murderers and thieves, according to the Bible, 1 Peter 4:5. You don't kill them, but you kill them with your tongue. And words can be very hurtful to people. 1 Timothy 5:13. At the same time, they also learn, manthano, which means to learn by use and practice, to be idle, argos, which is lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. As they go around from house to house, oika, and not merely idle, but also gossips, and that's pluros, and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Now, when it says house to house, this is not a burglar that goes from house to house to house in the neighborhood. These are churches. Remember, the early churches were in homes. So these idiots go from, there's church hoppers, like bunnies. They go from one church to the other, stir up trouble, and then go to another church, stir up trouble, then go to another church in the community, and they're looking for the church that's a nice, friendly church. And of course, if they see things that aren't right, they go back and just gossip about people in that church. Well, those people don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do the other thing. Again, if you go to a church and you're trying to find a Bible-teaching church, and that's not it for you, just quietly close your Bible and leave. You don't need to bad mouth the Jones that go there, or, you know, the Snodgrasses or whatever else. Oh, those people go to a church that doesn't teach anything. None of your business. Just go to the church that you can find Bible doctrine, but don't gossip about other people. It's their privacy. It's their business where they want to go. So these people were lazy, as we learn here. And they go from church to church, not merely just lazy with their mouth shut, but they gossip and they're busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. And that means they're spreading lies or truths about sins of other people. None of your business. Number eight, people who sit in judgment of others to condemn, which manifests itself in gossip and bullying, do so to satisfy deep approbation lust, to control others, and to place emphasis on their own emotion and experience instead of adhering to Bible doctrine. The legalist, who generally claims to base his so-called opinions on Bible doctrine, actually hates the grace-oriented believer. Because you'll hear many of these Christians that will say, well, you know, God wants you to do this, and God tells me this, and you're not living by the Bible, and blah, blah, blah. If you are living by the Bible, it's none of their business. If you're not living by the Bible, it's none of their business. Either way, it's none of their business at all. In most cases, they don't know what the Bible says. They're trying to micromanage. They're imposing their own standards on you, which means they're reflecting to you that they don't abide by the Bible. Because if they abided by the Bible, they shut their damn mouth. They wouldn't be gossiping. So how can you say that I'm not abiding by the Bible when you are clearly not abiding by the Bible? The Bible teaches privacy. And so when you get married, mother-in-laws have this temptation, I'm going to tell her what to do and how to do it. Don't do it. Even if you're right, don't do it. Even if you know how he likes his waffles made, don't say nothing unless they ask you. If they don't ask you, they don't want your advice. Fill in the blank. And how they're raising the kids. Well, I think the kids should not walk around the house barefoot. They need to have boots when they go outside in the snow. If that mother wants to send them out with bare feet, it's none of your damn business. Not your business, unless they ask you. And you don't gossip to other people about, well, did you see how they're doing with their kids and blah, 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 blah. Ladies, you ever hear any of this stuff before? And on and on. I'm just using the illustration for mother-in-laws. And on and on and on and on. And they wonder why nobody likes the mother-in-law. Well, that's why right there. And then old people. In the old days, we did it this way. Well, maybe you did. And maybe it was even better. But it's none of your business unless they ask you. And if they don't ask you, keep your mouth shut. And try to have a relaxed mental attitude and live and let live. Just recall when you were young, did you like to hear from your mother-in-law? No. But somehow you know everything. You're a know-it-all. Nobody likes to be around know-it-alls. Nobody. And so you've got to be a grace-oriented believer. Galatians 4:29, Colossians 2:16, Romans 14:2-4. Colossians 2:16 says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge. Nobody. This is to the busybody Christian. They're not to be your judge in regard to what? Let me give you some illustrations. To food. Well, you hear people, well, you need to stop eating those foods. You're going to turn into this and that and your cholesterol. And you need to eat these vitamins. None of your damn business. Did I ask you? No. Then we don't need your good advice about whatever the food is you think is going to make you a happy, healthy person. None of your business. Now, if they ask you, hey, I understand you're in the dietary stuff. What do you think? Or you like to drink certain types of water. Like, well, what type of water should I drink? Or drink. You know? Should I drink a beer? Should I not drink it? None of your business. Or in respect to a festival. You know, it's a holiday. You celebrate any holiday you want to. You don't say, well, that person's celebrating the holiday for the Irish. And don't they know that's not politically correct? None of your business what they celebrate. If you want to celebrate Kwanzaa, which is a made-up phony baloney holiday, because you don't, just Google it. It's made up. It's made up by a felon in California back in the 60s. It has nothing to do with Africa whatsoever. And yet somehow the idiots in our culture have elevated a false Kwanzaa celebration as if it's real. And they even have stamps from the postage office. It's ingrained in part of our culture, and it's all made the frick up by a felon in California that was basically a black racist. And so we just make up our own African holiday. Dude, there's no such thing. It's unknown in Africa. Never, ever happened, ever. And yet now they make kids sing songs to Kwanzaa in certain schools. And when I found out they were trying to do that to our kids, I raised holy hell. Our kids will not be singing that song that's based on, that was founded by a racist. Thank you very much. Oh, but that's not politically correct. And I gave them half the peace sign. So there you go. Metaphorically, I didn't literally give them the bird, but in my mind. Now, I was making an assessment. I'm not judging, but that's an assessment. We'll get to when you can judge, assessing things. Because it doesn't mean that you're adult and you just sit there and let society force feed you nonsense. You have an obligation to educate yourself. So, but if somebody wants to celebrate Kwanzaa, I'm not going to, protest them. I'd just say, hey, dude, you need to Google that maybe. If they ask me about it, I'm just smile and live and let live. Very nice little outfit you've got, whatever it is. Have a nice day. Or if you see somebody at Walmart and their pants are hanging down around their ankles, you're making an assessment like, wow, really? But it's live and let live. If you want to dress up like a circus clown, or a minstrel clown or whatever, have a nice day. I'm not going to be hiring you in my office. good luck with getting that job there. You got Facebook pictures of you with a chicken haircut and earrings and all stuff. Good luck with that, dude. Let me know how it works out. But again, it's none of my business. I might have a little chuckle about it, because I have a sense of humor. But I'm not going to go over and try to pull up their pants. Say, young man, you need to pull up your pants. You're a disgrace to society. Hey, none of my business. Live and let live. And that's what Colossians 2:16 says, none of your business. Number 9. Believers are commanded to separate from those who consistently engage in sitting in judgment to condemn others. The doctrine of separation is coming up. You separate them from them mentally, and then if you have to, physically. Just, live it, leave them alone. Dude, I can't deal with you anymore. Give good advice to other people. I've got, unless I ask you, just leave me alone. Number 10, exceptions to judging. We're all waiting for this, I know. What are the exceptions? I gave you the general rule, which is no. Here's the exceptions. A, the pastor teacher has the authority to sit in judgment and take action to protect the privacy of the congregation. You're the congregation, I'm the pastor teacher. If someone was disrupting things and playing their iPods and stuff, I'd throw them out. But we haven't had that problem because we have serious students of the Word of God that attend here. And I just throw in, as you know, hell and damn a couple times every week, and it drives out the legalists. They don't come back. You're shocked. Oh, my golly. So I try to intentionally use bad language from time to time to get them out of here. Because most of those are the legalists. Because the other stuff separates the people that are just kind of dull. They ain't showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning unless you're a serious student. You're just not going to come up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so that kind of dries them out. And lunchtime, they got to eat their peanut butter sandwiches. I'm not coming here. That dries them out too. Sunday, they're drinking Saturday night, can't make it. That dries them out too. And so we don't really have to, I don't really have to exercise that. But if I had to, believe me, I would. And if the door had opened for me to be a pastor teacher in a big Baptist church, I'd be nailing people. And very soon, I'd drive out at least half the congregation the first 2 Sundays. Because I'm not a nice pastor. You told those people to get out or shut the hell up in the back. And don't bring the kid into the back row. We're not here to placate you and play glad hand. We're here to study the Word of God. And that would drive out 2/3. Probably more. Probably 7/8. And I've had those experiences when I've been invited to churches from time to time to speak. They never had me back. But that's their prerogative. I always go when I'm invited, but no, I've never got a recall. 10B, under divine institution number 4, the government can enforce criminal or civil law. Divine institution number 4, under that doctrine, the government has the right to convict criminals, believers and non-believers. They're making a judgment on you. The jury system or the judge alone sitting in judgment. And they're sending you away for the long course or the short course. C, concerning Bible doctrine, which is dogmatic under the circumstances and the matter impacts the believer directly. Yes, you can sit in judgment. If you have a one-on-one, for example, that somebody says this is that, you can say, no, it's not, it's this. And therefore, we could cite the verse in 1 Peter, always be ready to give an account for someone that asks you about the hope that's in you, the confidence that's in you. But this is a rare exception. Generally, I just keep my mouth shut. Unless somebody asks me something. 10D. I go to a lot of these meetings where they have prayers and I don't say anything. I just got to do my own prayer while they're doing their prayer. I don't jump up and say, prayers are supposed to be short. That's not how prayers are. And plus, you didn't close the prayer properly in the name of Jesus. And you weren't addressing it to the Father. A lot of people just say, oh, God of the rivers or God of the heavens. And then in your name, amen. That's not what the Bible tells you how to construct prayers. But I don't say anything. I just smile. D, parent to a child. As long as the child resides in the home. So you got these people living in your basement, they're 26, 27. Hey, dude, you're under the parent's rules. You don't like it? Get out. So as long as that child resides in the home, if they're 80 and you're 100, it's your house rules, not their rules. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. So the parent has the right to sit in judgment of the child. You ain't going out of the house dressing up like a chicken man, going to Walmart with your pants hanging down. It ain't going to happen. And no, you will not do this. And no, you, and yes, you will do this. And no, you're not having that floozy come over to the house, or whatever it is. You want to see that person? You're going to see him over at the, you know, down at there at the 7-Eleven. So it's your house, your rules. If you don't like it, there's the door. Have a nice day. And that could be at the age of 17, there's the door. Or at the age of whatever it is. And you have the right to tell that person what to do. Now, of course, if you're a parent with children, as you're doing these things properly, when they get to about 16, 17, 18, you've got to give them the rein, as we say, as a riding terminology. You don't have to hold up on the rein too much, because they should be trained by you now to know out, go out and do their own thing. And so, yeah, you get you exercise less and less authority as they go out. But the general principle is, if I want to lower the boom, I can. I'm not saying you should, but you have the right to lower the boom if you want to. E, making specific recommendations of support when asked. People ask me for a letter of recommendation. Then I've got to make an assessment. I'm not going to say this is the best student I've ever seen if they're like an idiot. If I write you a letter, that means I have a high opinion of you. In many cases, I won't write letters. And if I do write a letter, I require them to do some things to show me evidence that they're worthy of whatever I put in that letter. F, believers that reject Bible doctrine are troublemakers. Oops, we already did this. Didn't we? That's 440. Is that right? Yeah, we did 440. We're on 441, correct? We're on 440. Okay, so this is a reiteration of that. Believers that reject Bible doctrine are troublemakers. We kind of said this, but we're going to make it a separate point. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 to 13. But actually I, Paul, wrote Grapho to you to not associate with any so-called brother. And so this is a brother in name, but this could be a believer as well, believer or unbeliever. Some of them are brothers and some are so-called brothers. If he, this is a believer, if he is an immoral person, pornos, that's a man who prostitutes his body to another's lust for hire. This could be male or female. You're a pornos. Or covetous, a covetous, and that's one eager to have what belongs to another, or an idolater, eidolartes, that's a tongue twister, which means a worshiper of false gods. This doesn't necessarily mean bowing down to an idol. Your false god could be a hobby that you devote everything to, or your just imagination of what God is. That's not God. That's you. Well, you make up a god. Or a reviler. Lodidoros, which is one who causes mischief. Or a drunkard. That's an intoxicated person. Or a swindler, harpax, extortioner, or robber. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge, Crino, those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Crino, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. So, this basically is good advice as well as Bible doctrine. As my grandmother used to tell me, if you run with wolves, you'll start to howl. If you associate, I always told my kids, associate with the smartest kid in school you can find. Don't associate with the idiots, because you'll start to do what the idiots do. And that's the issue here. You're going to hang around these type of people. You're going to start doing these things. And so Paul is saying here, rhetorically, what have I to do with judging outsiders? These are unbelievers. I don't. That's their problem. But within the church, we have an issue as a pastor teacher to watch these things. But you within the church, you decide what people you want to link up with and be friends with. Not everybody in the church is someone that you have things in common with. And so this is all that Paul is saying. Point 11. When you judge, which is improperly sitting in judgment of another, what do? When you've done it, well, you rebound immediately. 1 John 1:9, 1 Corinthians 11, 13, Hebrews 12, 12 to 3. What's the second thing you do? Rebound does not advance you in your spiritual life. Let me repeat that. Rebound will not advance you in your spiritual life. It'll make you spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, But advancement in the spiritual life is learning Bible doctrine. So when you rebound, you're still at the same state you were before you rebound. If you're a mature believer, you're right back. You're still a mature believer. Unless you stay out of fellowship for about a year, then you engage in reversionism. But generally, you're not going to fall far down the ladder once you commit a sin if you rebound it fairly quickly. So when you do rebound, then concentrate on the Word and endeavor to mind your own business in the future. Say, look, that's a lust pattern of my own sin nature, gossip. I got to watch myself in the future. Line up with the grace of God, 2 Peter 3:18. Recall that although you may be better than another human in terms of morality, you, along with that person, are absolutely worthless relative to perfect God. Lamentations 3, 21-23, written by Jeremiah. This I recall to mind. You can't recall it unless you have the Bible doctrine in your mind. Therefore, I have confidence, hope, the Lord's loving kindnesses, which means chesed, which means mercy. That's a long word for grace in action, but that's what it is. Loving kindnesses, indeed, never cease. Without God's grace in action, we would be completely consumed. The King James Version says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I like the King James translation better. This is the New American Standard translation. The King James says, without God's mercy, we'd be consumed immediately if we got what we deserved. Here it's translated, indeed, never cease. For his compassion never fail. Compassions, rather, never fail. That's true. God will never fail you. What's the next thing you're supposed to do? See, know the Bible view of sitting in judgment of others. What is the Bible view of sitting in judgment of others? Well, the Bible says don't do it. D, each believer has enough to worry about in his own short life. Romans 4:14. Isn't that true? Don't we have enough problems and crap to deal with in our own short life than while worrying about other people? Yes. And do you really need the double divine discipline for flapping your gums? No. E, avoid the pattern of chain sinning. You've heard of chain smoking. They light one on top of the other. Chain sinning. Same concept. 1 Timothy 5:13, Hebrews 12:15. We're going to get to the doctrine of sin, but certain sins come in clusters. It's like you go into a room and throw a grenade in there. It goes out all different types of directions. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one comes short. Hysterio means to be left behind in the race. What's the race? To get to maturity. Of the grace of God, that's your goal, that no root, riza, which means something that springs up, that no root of bitterness, pikraia, that's bitter hatred, springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. There's my wonderful word, miaino, which means to pollute, but it means actually going number two or number three. Many of you are defiled. So, the root of bitterness, where do you think all this gossip stuff comes from? The root of bitterness, your trend in your old sin nature, and that will give you chain sinning because you just can't get enough of it. 12, again, point 12, again, whenever the believer arrogantly assumes to sit in judgment, it is manifested by the sin of gossip or slander. Indeed, the person who sits in judgment is simply advertising the misery in their own soul. Proverbs 14:21, Ecclesiastes 7:20-22. Thus, a significant sign of the mature believer is the control over his own tongue so that he does not give in to the temptation to sit in judgment of others. James 3, 5-6. How do you know that you're growing as a mature believer? You stop flapping your frickin' gums. James 3, 5-6. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts. Mega lachio. Mega is big, we know, of great things. Well, the tongue could do all sorts of things. I'm great, I'm wonderful, that's arrogance. Everybody else doesn't understand me, all sorts of nonsense. See how great a forest is set aflame. An opto, which means to light up a fire, by such a small fire. A little tiny fire can burn down a forest. Your gossip can do great harm to people. And the tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course, and that's trochos, which means the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Yes, you can create hell on earth with your tongue. right here on this earth. So don't do it. The sign of a mature believer, you control your tongue, because that's where it comes from. That's where it manifests itself. If you're someone that sits in judging, it's going to come out the tongue. That's where it's going to come. 13, when the believer is the object of judging by others, he should put the matter in the hands of the Lord. Let the Lord repay. 1 Peter 5:7, Psalm 55:22, Romans 12:19, Deuteronomy 32:35. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord. That's all your troubles. And he will sustain you. That word is call, which means to make provision for you. In fact, he made provisions for you long, long, long time ago, before you were born. He will never allow the righteous, that's you, you are the righteous because you have the righteousness of God imputed to your soul, to be shaken, mocked, to waver, to be cast out, ever. And then we have Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance, nakam, which is revenge, payback, is mine, that's God, not you. And retribution, in due time their foot will slip. This is God's promise. In due time, the person that wrongfully gossips or maligns you, their slip foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. For the believer, they get double discipline. And it's just a matter of time before the boom will be lowered on them. So you let the Lord handle it. You hear that somebody badmouths you and accuse you of this, that, or the other thing? Don't defend yourself. Those that know you, they know you. And those that don't, don't. So never explain and never complain. Never explain yourself, because people that know you, you don't need to explain to them. You don't need to say, well, I was just in that bar doing something else. None of their business. They know the doctrine of privacy. If they're a mature believer, they don't need an explanation. And as Shakespeare said, methinkest thou protest too much. That's the Thundering Dictionary of the King James. When you start protesting too much, there's something going on there, dude. So never explain, because people that know you, they already got your back. And never complain. What are you going to complain about? It's life. Put your big boy pants on. It's just the way life is. They will malign you. In fact, as the Lord said, if you're a mature believer, you're going to get it from all sides. Satan hates you. Demons hate you. They'll inspire other people to turn against you. And of course, when you get these testings as you go towards maturity, you can have your best friends turn against you, your spouse turn against you, everything can go belly up. But what are you going to do about it? Well, you put it in the Lord's hands. And ultimately, if you put it in the Lord's hands, you don't even want revenge. You just kind of feel sorry for those people because, again, they are projecting their own misery. And if you're truly a mature believer, you can just look at it and go, dude, these verses are written for the immature believer. It's baby verses, right? The Lord will repay. And that means, oh, I'm happy they're going to get payback. If you're a mature believer, you're not really happy that unbelievers are going to hell. Or that mature or believers don't like Bible doctrine, they're going to fall on their face. They're not happy about that. So this verse is really written for the baby believer. But you can grasp onto that for a while, because the baby believer wants payback. The mature believer, we don't really care. We just say, it's in the Lord's hands. And there's nothing, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names are not going to hurt me. But see, if you're not a mature believer, names will hurt you. You'll fall apart. You'll gossip about them the first chance you get. Names will hurt you. As James said, that fire can burn down a forest fire, but if you're a mature believer, like water off a duck's back, not at all. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Of course, when people gossip about you and malign you, it hurts. But what are you going to do about it? You're going to apply Bible doctrine and move on. Okay, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for studying this wonderful doctrine of privacy and judging. We thank you that you have revealed these things to us in your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will make these things a source of enlightenment, of blessing, and glory in our lives so that we can grow to maturity and glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.